Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And I like to do, and I'm abstinent and I'm grateful, and I like to do a commentary on day 26. The Bible verses are Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. And it reads, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." I was thinking about the meeting this morning, and you know, what came to me in that meeting, and actually I have already put that up because it was some things sometimes when I am doing a meeting or in the process of doing a meeting, I can feel here, almost in my ear, things coming together. And I tried to just speak those out. But I think it was a lot of things spoken in that meeting. And so if you weren't on that meeting, it's already on the website. What came to me in terms of what is helpful to people. You know, when people come to Christ-centered food recovery, they don't always know what they should do. They want to know, is it okay to continue to do what they're doing, which for a lot of them is that they are very, very involved in the 12-step room. So a lot of them have a lot of friendships, and a lot of them have gotten help. And I know that was true for me, that in terms of the food situation, that we definitely need some practical help on how do we deal with the food. And we can get that in those rooms. But the problem is that when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, we have a new master. And we cannot put anything above Jesus and who he is in making him known. And we cannot be ashamed of him. We can't be ashamed of him. And all those things get into conflict when a person really becomes on fire for the Lord. But let me just go back and look together at that Romans 10, 14 and 15. Romans 10, 14 and 15 says this from the NIV. "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And so our essential role now is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God in the flesh who worked out our salvation. He has given us a way that we can rise above the sin issue in our lives. He gave us a new heart. And as I've said before, I said it this morning, I was listening back to that recording, and it makes me laugh sometimes, but it does put in my heart, you know, the Bible is very, very clear. There's only one way, Acts 4:12. "There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." We cannot lie to people. It's not a God of their understanding. It's Jesus Christ who saves sins. He saves our sins, and we have to have that salvation, or else when the time is up, and the time can be up, you know, one of two ways. We can die, And none of us knows the number of our days except the Lord knows it, but we don't know. I mean, people, somebody listening right now can go to bed and not wake up. We don't know when that. So we can die, or we can be here when, the rapture comes and the church is taken out. And we pray, we pray that those who we love will also be taken out of this world, because the Bible also teaches, and you see that in the book of Revelation and in other books, in 1 Thessalonians and things like that, where we have to understand that there's a time limit that's going on right now. There's a lot of discord happening in the world, and a lot of rebellion against the Lord. And he's warning us. He's warning us, of course, through his word. He's warning us in history. We can see societies that were completely taken out, the Roman society. So we have to keep that in mind. We are following a lot of the patterns of the Roman world, the whole thing, the sex, the sexuality, the deciding that we can have any gods that we want to have and have many of those and on. But history, even human history, shows, that these nations, they did not last, they perished. And God's word is very clear that that is going to happen. And so we need to let people know. We need to let them know that we have to get cleaned up. We need the Lord. We need his word. And if you go into Romans 10, that first verse, Romans 10:14, is that we have this understanding of how necessary it is for us who know the gospel of the Lord to proclaim it. If people, how can they call on the Lord if they do not believe in him? And belief is going to be impossible without first hearing the message. And so God has it so that, they do hear the message. They can see it in our lives. They can hear it in the way that we speak. And so, no, we do not want to mess around on that. And so we have been sent, and we have also been left here to proclaim that message. We have to give to others what God has given to us. We share the revelations that he has given to us. And, this is hard to do at times because people, they fight against it. They don't want to necessarily stop doing what feels good. But it doesn't take very much long. I remember I've shared before a pastor talking about the seasons of sinning and how, we have a summer and a springtime of sin where it's enjoyable. That's why we do it. We sin because it's an enjoyable thing to do, but it is it won't last. That enjoyment does not last because God cannot be mocked. We cannot continue to rebel against God and not have the consequences of it. And this particular pastor was speaking of how we go through a fall and a winter of this sin issue. And many of us who have gone that route with the food definitely know it. And where we just played around and played around with the food, but eventually it got to the point that it was horrible for us. We felt stomped on. We just felt like we couldn't even live in our own skin anymore. And so we wanted to do something about it. And what we did for most of us is that many of us went to the 12-step rooms. And again, the 12-step rooms, if you look at the history of it, of those rooms were they had their beginning by two in particular who had come to know the Lord. One definitely Bob. Sometimes I think when you look at the history of Bill Wilson, it's not necessarily that obvious about whether he truly had, we don't know, only God knows, whether he had truly come to a saving, trusting knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bob, we do know, in terms of the fruit that he produced. He would even take people through Bible study. But what happened in those 12-step rooms is compromise. The compromising that happens when we are trying to people please. I was thinking about that Galatians 1:10 in the Bible. It says, am I still trying to please man? And if I'm still trying to please man, I cannot be a servant of Christ. And that is what had happened in those 12-step rooms and is still happening. These two men were trying to help people to have the same experience with God as they had with the Lord. And yet they were getting pushback to the point that they would not say the name of Jesus. That wasn't part of it. They thought that they could draw people in and, somehow by not even speaking the name of Jesus, then they would get it. But, when you think about that, that doesn't make very much sense because we have to remember we're not just dealing with human flesh in the speaking of the good news. We are dealing also with the adversary, an evil spirit we are dealing with. And that, if we don't recognize it, if we don't speak honestly about that, we're just playing right into that spirit's hands. I remember it used to be, it still is a book by, can't even remember right now, C.S. Lewis, and about the screw tape letters, I think is the name of the book, and is a parody is where, these devils are, of course, trying to get to mankind. And one of the strategies that they use is, using the pride of men. The pride of men who would say that there is no such thing as a devil. And you can definitely find that in the world today. People, don't be talking about no devil, because that means that you are ignorant if you do that. You don't have very much intelligence. And so the pride of people have them believing that they are the captains of their souls. They do not need anybody to die for them. That they can get it together and do it on their own. They can think it out on what they need to do. But God is very clear in his word about that. He says that, we just got off the book of Jeremiah. And it was a verse, it was two verses in Jeremiah 9:23. I think it's 23 and 24. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the mighty man glory in his might, or the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glory in this, that he understands and he knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising, righteousness and judgment. We have to, again, have that humility to come to the Lord and to let him use us to tell other people about the good news of Jesus Christ. We have to, fall in love with the Lord that we can't even stop talking about him. Talking and helping people to understand that they need Jesus. And there's only one hope, and that is Jesus. And he is the answer. He's the answer. And so that last paragraph says that I am called to be a fisher of men. I'm called to share the hope that I have been given with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect does not mean that I ignore the name of Jesus. And I don't take that name lightly. I take what he has done for me with much gratitude. And to understand that there is a mission field out there of people who need to know about Jesus. And day by day, what am I doing to help people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do I do for that? And I was looking also in the back of the reading of the 90 days. It has a dig deeper where you can go a little further by doing a writing assignment. Of course, the invitation is to do a verse study, find words and phrases in that Romans 10, 14, and 15 that speak to our heart, and we can actually look them up and write paraphrases of them. But the last two bullets are very important to look at and consider as well. It says, list at least 5 unsaved people that you will encounter this week. Have you prayed that the Lord will use you today to draw them to you? And, how are we going to do that? And, we want to, I should have put a very qualifier on that. I don't want people to just be drawn to me and stop in that. That's not what I'm speaking about in that. But to give them an opportunity to hear the good news from me so that I can always point them to Jesus. That's the bottom line. I want to point people to the Lord because he is the one who made them, and he is the one that will give them clear direction about the things that could be overbearing in their life. And then the third bullet says, what are your experiences and thoughts about Christians in the 12-step rooms? And like I said this morning, that tape or that recording that I made, it really did come to me very clearly. Again, it has come before that the role of any Christian is to tell people the good news. And the role in those 12-step rooms is not to get abstinent. If you are going to the 12-step rooms to get abstinent, then you're missing the point. Because like I'm speaking right now to born-again believers. If you know that you are a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the nature of those rooms, it is not for you to get abstinent in. All the skills that you can get from those 12-step rooms, believe it, you probably already have it. You could probably write a book about the skills of how what to do in order to stay abstinent, and in order to stay doing what needs to be done to get abstinent, that's going to take prayer. It takes prayer for that to happen. And so if you think that you're going to go to the 12-step rooms and just keep going to those meetings and how you're going to get abstinent, no. I know in my heart that that's not true. That I believe, and I believe it with such conviction, that if you are sent to those 12-step rooms, it is as a missionary. And as I pointed out this morning, if you are in any ambiguity about what does it look like to be a missionary in the 12-step rooms, and there are 4 things that came to me. Number 1 is that your besetting sin, let's say if your besetting sin is food, you have, with God's help, learned how to overcome it. You've overcome that particular besetting sin. And so that, and I don't mean in terms of, you know, 2 days of abstinence, I mean, that you have at least a year or more of doing it, because you are going to need it, because you will hear a lot of things out of error. It's not that people are being mean in those rooms, it's just that they don't know and they have error. And it's to be able to tell them the truth, to speak the truth in a loving way. It's going to take a lot of courage. And so, yeah, are you called? Well, are you abstinent? No, because you're not going there to be abstinent or get abstinent. And are you a prayer warrior? You know, are you a prayer warrior for the people? Because you hear a lot in there. And to be able to intercede for things that you hear and for people, somebody needs to be in there doing that, you know, and doing that as well. And yeah, you can should be the one, God may be the one calling you to do that. You know, another thing you want to look at is how diligently are you in the Word of God, because that is essential. People come to know the Lord by the Word of God. The Word of God is convicting and brings that faith that is needed in that. And so these are things to look at if you think you are a missionary there. We pray that you see that in your heart. But let me pray right now. Father, in the name of the Lord, like I said this morning, Father, I am not here to put anybody down, but I am here to be obedient. And just like you spoke very clearly in Ezekiel, that if there is something that you have given me as a warning to people, and I don't warn them, then it's going to be a problem for me, you know, at a later time. But, you know, if I warn them, it's still going to be their decision on what they need to do. And so, Father, I want to be your ambassador, and I want to be a strong worker for you, doing what you call me to do, not a people pleaser, but one who pleases you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I pray. Amen.